Amen. I'm going to tell you, He'll not reveal Himself until we're taken away, until the Holy Spirit is taken away. And I was listening to Brother Raines this morning on his program, and he's talking about that parable of the dragnet not being consummated until after the rapture of the church. That actually that parable extended into the tribulation period. And I believe he's right. I believe he's right, because the whole lump is not going to be leavened until we're taken out of the way. Can you imagine when the Holy Ghost is lifted and every saint is removed, there will not be 1 ounce of grace left in this world. There will not be one influence of good. Not one, not an ounce of influence for good will there be in this world. And, buddy, we're getting there. And then Brother Raines mentioned talking about how they was, he really believed that they were the angels were gathering the tares into bundles to be burned now and was gathering them into these cold and indifferent liberal churches. Now, I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. If you've been a member of this church 5 years, Brother Hall preached that 5 years ago in this church. 5 years ago. That God was gathering the tares in bundles to be burned right now. And if you'll read that parable of Matthew 13, He gathers the tares into bundles and binds them before He ever gathers the wheat into His barn. And so the day's up on us. It really is. And I'd like to say that I'm glad, thank God, that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That's right. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, what's going to happen to the world? Mark her down. He's going to send them a strong delusion. They'll believe a lie and will be damned. Mark it down. Somebody said, is he doing that already? Yeah. This promise keeper's mess and all that stuff we're seeing. He is. Who's he going to send a delusion to? Not the lost world out here. Well, it will be the lost world. But not what the world calls heathen. Oh, no. He's going to send that strong delusion to the religious folk. The religious folk is going to believe. I mean, they're going to swallow it hook, line, buddy, and sinker. Amen. They really are. They really are. Well, I tell you, I've got a little sermonette for Sunday school this morning. Psalm 21. All right? Psalm number 21. And let's read the entire psalm this morning. I'll be brief this morning in about 30 minutes and we'll be done with Sunday school. And I want to try to get done a reasonable hour in preaching. And if we're to do that, we need to get started at a reasonable hour for preaching. And because we're going to have service tonight, Brother Bill Williams is scheduled to be with us in our evening service. All right. Psalm number 21, verse number 1. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. Father, bless your word now. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Some time ago, fellas, I forget who it was that I was talking to, and I mentioned the fact that I'd been teaching or was trying to teach through the book of Psalms, and whoever it was said, I've never tried to teach through that book. It is a tremendous book in the Bible, and it is. But their reply to me was that this book is repetitious. That is, that it goes over a whole lot of the same things time and time again. And that's true. It is. The book of Psalms is repetitious. It deals a whole lot with man's victories and Satan's defeat and the consummation of the lost man and what he'll be in the end time. And it goes over and over and over and over that time and time again. And it does, it gets a little tiring to the flesh to try to teach through it because, you know, as a teacher, preacher, a man figures that people will grow bored from hearing basically the same thing over and over again. But I want to look at these verses this week and conclude this psalm. And really, it is a psalm that covers much of the same thing that we've already looked at in the previous 20 chapters of this wonderful book. Now, if you remember on last week's study, the first seven verses that we looked at, we saw the joy that filled the king's heart as he returned to the palace, and also the benefits provided for you and I as God's royal descendants. And, men, I'm glad that I am of one of God's royal descendants. I believe the Sugar Grove singers sang a song, a royal descendant. And that we are. We've come out of the loins of royalty. We are the children of a king. Not just a king, but he's the king. And he will, in his own time, fellas, show to this world who is the only true king and potentate, being Lord of lords and King of kings. And he is that. Amen. And but in these final verses, David deals with the king's enemy and his final destruction of them and their banishment out of God's sight. Now, the title that we gave last week, we looked at the benefits of royalty. And for about 30 minutes this morning, I want us to look at the banishment of the enemy as they're banished out of the sight of God. Now, notice in verse number 8, and we'll cover verses 8, 9, and 10, and if the Lord permits, we'll go through 11, 12, and 13 and close out the chapter. But notice in verse number 8, he said, "Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out all those that hate thee." And let me say, the first thing in God's banishment of his enemy, which, by the way, are the enemies of you and I as well, he will discover them. Or he discovers all of his enemies. He will make every enemy of God known unto himself. He reveals them. Notice what he says in verse 8, "Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies." You know, there is not one thing, gentlemen, that is hidden from the eyes of God. There is not one thing that escapes the mind of God. And although men continue to try to pull the wool over God's eyes, they're not going to get that accomplished. I almost titled this psalm, "When God Pulls the Cover Back." And there's coming a day in this life, possibly, that God will pull the cover back off of professors to reveal them to the world for who they really are. And there's coming a time in the life to come that he will definitely make known every professor, every heathen, every lost man, he will make known and reveal to them the counsels and the imaginations, the intents of the wickedness of their heart. He will discover them. I'll never forget, and I've heard another preacher make this statement time and time again. I've heard old Brother Burns use it so often in his preaching, that God will in this lifetime make known, or he will reveal to this society what a man is made out of. Now, don't you get the idea, gentlemen, that a sham or a false professor, a religious man that does not possess Christ, can sit on the church pews indefinitely and God not reveal to him who he is? And God will also reveal to those around him who he is. That's right. Now, notice now, and this let me kind of get into this a little bit. There are basically three things that God uses to discover His enemies. Number one, God uses the Scriptures. Do you know, that's one thing that a false religionist cannot set under is the manifestation of the Word of God. You see, the preaching of the Scriptures will make a man's heart manifest unto him. There's not anything that will reveal your heart and my heart as clearly as what the Word of God will. That's why folks kick out, blow up, and blow out is because they cannot stand themselves as revealed in the Word of God. Now, old Brother Paul said, for the Word of God is quick. That is, gentlemen, it's alive. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that word sharper there, God's not saying that that He takes His Word and sticks and prods and hacks and beats on somebody until it finally reveals their heart to them. No, no, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That is to say that one quick stick from the Word of God has got enough power to penetrate that man's conscience, lay open his heart, and reveal to him what he really is in the eyes of Almighty God. That's right. This book will pierce the spirit and the joints and the marrow and is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of a man's heart. Did you get a hold of that? This Bible, my friend, will reveal your very thoughts and your intentions. Oh, I've heard men stand up and use great swelling words and boast about what their intentions are for the glory and honor of God, when really they've got their true intentions covered up. But God, through this book, gentlemen, will make manifest the real thoughts and intentions of their heart. Amen and amen. Now, God also uses the Spirit to discover men's hearts or discover His enemies. I use Acts chapter number 5, I really think, as a wonderful illustration of that. And I know there's a great argument of whether Ananias and Sapphira were saved or lost. I believe they were saved. But at the same time, they placed themselves in the position of an enemy of God, the line of the Holy Ghost. And it was the Holy Ghost that revealed to old Peter what was in the heart of those two individuals. No doubt about it. Because Peter asked the question, said, Ananias, hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Who do you think it was that told Peter, hey, there's not one hint in Scripture that God spoke to Peter outwardly? But I'll guarantee you, gentlemen, that that small, still voice spoke in the heart of the man of God and gave him the ability to discern right from wrong, good from evil, and to let him know that somebody in there, namely Ananias and Sapphira, had lied to God and kept back part of the money that they claimed they had from selling their property. Now, on the same token, gentlemen, if we will be, hey, the Spirit and the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And if we'll listen real carefully to the Spirit of God and walk in that Spirit, God will discover our enemies for us. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so don't run out on me. Then I want to say the Savior will discover the hearts of His enemies. Jeremiah 17:9. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the heart and search the reins. By the way, gentlemen, ain't going to be much excitement in the Sunday school hour, neither in the preaching hour. So it might as well buckle in today and get ready for a little preaching. Amen. Now, that's right. The Savior knows what is in the heart of man. Now, but I want to call your attention back to the Scripture here, all right? Very carefully. Notice here, he uses the word hand. Now, I'm getting ready to try to teach you something. He says, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy hand. Doesn't distinguish which hand, just thy hand. It may be the left hand. May I say to you, gentlemen, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now, and I'm not turning to all of them, but there is a number of places in the Bible that God uses as an illustration that His hands are used as a means of uncovering things. Use His hands to pull the cover back. Show man his heart. To discover our enemies. To discover our enemies. But then he goes on to say in the same verse, in the next phrase in that verse, thy right hand shall find out all those that hate thee. Now, fellas, here's what I've come up with that. Here is exactly what I've come up with that. That God will discover our enemies that are close, and God will discover our enemies that are covert. In other words, God, by the Scriptures, by the Spirit, and by the Savior, will discover our enemies that are above ground and those that are underground. Did you get a hold of that, fellas? I mean, just like He discovered old Sanballat and Tobias as being the enemies of Israel. They tried to undermine the work of God. But God discovered them. And somebody said, you're talking a whole lot on discovery. That's right. I want you to get the picture, my friend. And by the way, fellas, everybody look right up at me. It all ain't bad, because you need to understand, as a child of Almighty God, that the preacher in the church is not the only man that is confronted by his enemies. If you're genuinely born again and been to Calvary, and you're walking with the Lord, mark her down, confrontation awaits you, and there are enemies out there just waiting to confront you. And get this now, some of them will look you right in your face and say, God bless you, you're so wonderful, I love you. He'll discover those above ground, gentlemen. But those that are close, but those that are covert. Now somebody said, what are covert? Surely you've heard of the covert operations of our government in various countries. I mean, the government will move in and they will begin to work with rebellious factions in that country to try to overthrow the government of that country and establish a what they call a quote-unquote democracy, but it's what I believe to be a communistic society. Is all we've got left in America today. Now, I said that to say this. Men, you do have enemies that are underground that will smile at you. And the whole time they're smiling, the devil has just used them, my friend, to assist, to be an assistant to those that are above ground, that are trying to overthrow your religion for God. See, y'all ain't it. You ain't either ain't getting it or you ain't liking it too well. I'm glad you are pondering. If you think, friend, that the preacher's the only man that ever falls under satanic attack, you're naive to believe that stupidity. Huh? And look here. You need to know it as a Christian, gentlemen, for one main reason. There may come a time when there are covert operations in the house of God. I'm talking about men working underground to overthrow the authority down to the house of God. I have seen good men, become, mesmerized by the slick tongue of a covert worker of the devil that he's using to try to overthrow the pastor, and I've seen good men fall in line with that man or those men and wind up a casualty, become a wheat that is uprooted in the house of God simply because they did not have enough spiritual discernment to discern who their enemy was and who it wasn't. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And I'm getting ready to make a point on this anyway. He'll uncover those that are discover those rather that are close. He'll discover those that are covert. He'll discover those that are crafty by His hand and by His right hand. And by the way, those that are crafty, there's no doubt about it, according to the Scripture, are those that hate Him. You know who that crowd reminds me of? Those that bless with their mouth and curse inwardly.
Amen.
Did you get a hold of that, fellas?
Amen.
Boy, it just sounds like a professor to me, a lost man.
Amen.
That claims to be saved and don't have anything.
Amen.
Blesses with his mouth, curses inwardly.
Amen.
Really what it is a fountain, as James said, that's trying to bring fresh water and salt water out of the same hole, fellas. It don't work.
Yes.
No, sir. And so our Lord, and I've got to hurry, my goodness. And so He will discover all of His enemies. Notice in verse number 9, not only will He discover His enemies, and this is going to get better, it goes right in line with what I'm preaching on, He will not only discover them, gentlemen, but God in His wrath will devour them.
Amen.
Notice verse number 9. Thou shalt make them a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. Somebody said, oh, we as God's children ought to never get angry. Angry. I want you to know, fellas, there is such a thing as righteous indignation. And God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, there's a difference in having righteous indignation and blowing your temper. That's where most of us fall in line, blowing our temper. We lose it. We're like old Brother Ronnie Waters in there singing that song, I'm about to lose it. And we lose it. Huh? Only it's not our voice, it's our temper. I mean, we pull the lid off and let her blow out the top and the steam rolling out both ears. Flames coming out of the mouth, amen, ready to devour anything in her way. But I'm telling you, there is a flame of God.
Amen.
Gentlemen, that will devour the adversary in his way. He doesn't just discover an enemy, friend, to let him continue in his indignation and sin, but God discovers an enemy with the understanding that He is prepared not only to discover him, turn him up, but to destroy him in his very being.
Amen.
Notice verse number 9. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in His wrath,
amen,
and the fire shall devour them. There it is, fellas. There it is. Shall devour them.
Amen.
You know what that word devour means? It means to eat on.
Right.
It means to burn up. It means to consume.
Amen.
It means to feed on. Now, I want you to notice these variety of words in this verse. And they basically, gentlemen, mean the same thing. He said there, thou shalt make them as a fiery oven. Here's what one man said about that oven. He said, where the burning is extremely hot, the flame striking upon what is in it from all sides, above, below and about it on all sides, and the door closed from going out or from suffering any cool refreshment from coming in. Gentlemen, if I ever heard a description of hell itself, it's right there in Psalm number 21. Hey, that's where God is going to devour His enemy in His wrath. Like a fiery oven with a door closed where the heat is increasingly hot and where there is no way for any cool or refreshment to ever enter into that place that God has designated to torment the souls of men with. Somebody said, who are these men? They're lost. They're ungodly men. They're carnal men. They're Christ rejectors. They're disobedient men. They're men that have heard the gospel over and over and been declared the Word of God and heard the power of God that's able to deliver their soul from the very damnation that I'm preaching about. But they've rejected it. They'll die in their sin and go to hell without God. Y'all hearing? Don't want to get too carried away. I got to preach this morning. I want to save a little steam for after a while. I blowed her all out last week in Sunday school. Now, notice the next word, a fiery oven. And then he said, but the Lord shall swallow them up. That word swallow means the same thing as fiery oven. It just simply means to make away with, to eat up and swallow. And a gentleman, it literally means that they, now get this now, that they will be swallowed up and become as waste. Let me ask you something. What do you do? What happens? And I'm not trying to be ugly or gross, but what becomes of the food that you swallow up? You don't set, you're surely not going to wait till Thanksgiving Day and set that big turkey or that big ham or that big roast out on that table and sit there and look at it and say, my, isn't that a lovely thing? And for 2 or 3 weeks, just sit there and look at that turkey. You're going to swallow it. You're going to swallow it, gentlemen. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to it. It'll come out in the draught. Amen. It looks good on the table, but it amounts to no more than waste. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that's exactly, my friend, how these enemies of God are. They look good sitting on the table, but they'll come out in the draught and they'll be nothing but waste in the presence of God. Consumed, devoured, passed through, and left in an oven of fire without God for an eternity. Somebody said, I don't believe that. And go on down there and join, Billy Graham. He don't believe it either. You're right, Steve. He don't believe in a literal fire in hell. Gentlemen, hey, stop and think what I'm saying. He discovers his enemies, but he devours his enemies, and the eternal flames of hell will ever eat and feed upon the soul of that enemy of God. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved.
Yes.
Woo! Hot doggy. Yes, sir. Amen. I don't intend to just use God for no fire escape. I fell in love with the Lord Jesus, but I sure am glad one of the benefits of loving Him is escaping the fiery damnation in the oven of God. Hallelujah. No fire going to feed up on my soul. No, sir, buddy. Amen. It's sealed to the day of redemption. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Wrapped in grace. Covered in blood. Sealed by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Born again. Heaven bound with a hammer down. Hallelujah. Right. That's wonderful. Gentlemen, I'm telling you that we ought to be elated this morning. Look here. Somebody said, but these are enemies of God. So are you until you are reconciled in your mind. Amen. Wasn't you a friend of the world one time? I'm going to tell you if you were, I'm going to tell you what you was. You were at enmity with God. You were an enemy. But God was in Christ on the cross to wit, reconciling the world unto Himself. I'm going to tell you, when the Son of God hanged up on the cross and His blood dripped from His brow and down across His blessed hands and arms from where they were pierced and dripped off the tips of His toes from where His feet were pierced and out of His skin from where it was beaten. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Whenever a drop of blood oozed out of His body, it seemed to cry out, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am God Almighty, reconciling the world unto me by the blood of my Son. Amen. If we hadn't been enemies, pray tell me, why was there a need of making peace? Made peace how, gentlemen? Through the blood of His cross. God help that crowd that want to be baptized. Huh? I'm glad I'm baptized, but I'm going to tell you, I'm sure a whole lot gladder that I took a bathe in the fountain that was drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Hey, man! Somebody said, was you? Oh, yeah, I was an enemy. I was just like the rest of you, a bugger mouth cusser, blaspheming God, just an old rogue. Amen. Ought to be in hell with my neck broke, begging for mercy today. But God showed mercy. Amen. And mercy and peace met together. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Righteousness and truth kiss one another. And I came out smelling like a rose. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Amen. Look, there's two other words there, fire and devour, and they all mean the same thing, basically. See, gentlemen, he not only discovers his enemies, but he devours them. Huh? And look here. Now, I know that if this tape gets out, and probably from some of you right here, that I'll be labeled a hate monger. But, gentlemen, the fact that he does devour his enemies should elate you and I. It should give us joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes.
Number one, he would not be a just God if he give refuge to believers and then let Christ in ours escape the judgment of hell. He would not be just.
Amen.
But I've got Scripture. Oh, in Revelation 19, when we always say when the saints, I want to refresh, but when we see the smoke of them ascend up out of the bottomless pit, you know what the people of God say? Hallelujah! Her smoke ascended up, the whore that transgressed and deceived the whole world. When her smoke went up, God's children cried out, Hallelujah to God! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Gentlemen, I'm glad there's coming a day when the Lord God omnipotent shall reign. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, I want to reign. Well, I'm glad he's a reigner. I reigned from 1946 to 1970 and made a total fool out of myself and a mess out of my whole life. But when the Lord started reigning. Woo! Somebody said, how'd all that happen? I'm glad you asked. I want to tell somebody this morning. September the 13th, 1970, I realized I was an enemy of God and could not escape. So I throwed up the white flag of surrender and put my hands behind my back and said, I'm yours. See, that old stubborn, rebellious flesh don't want to surrender to God and have Him to rule over them. Boy, I'm glad I did. Hallelujah to God. Fellas, I got to close this out. He will discover his enemies. He will devour his enemies. Notice, please, in verse number 10, he will destroy the posterity of his enemies. And gentlemen, when I read the last statement in this, I want you to be mindful this morning. And I'm going to close when I read this, all right? Notice verse 10. Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. Who is that he's talking about? He's talking about the enemies of God. He will destroy their fruit and their seed. Now look here, that word destroy means to wander away or just lose oneself. Just become a vagabond. If you ask me, it's another reference to hell, gentlemen. Wandering in chains of darkness forever.
Amen.
Huh? Now look here. That word fruit means their reward. That's literally what that word means. In other words, God said He'll destroy their fruit from off the earth. What they could have left them. What these men could have left their children. He'll destroy it.
That's what it's reading. Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth. Their fruit. Whose fruit? The fruit of the enemies of God.
Right.
What is their fruit? That reward which they could have left to their posterity, to their children. And the seed there, and their seed from among the children of men. Everybody get this. You know what that word seed means? It literally means sowing time. It literally means a seed. In other words, it literally means their children. This is not original. I copied this out of a book, but listen carefully. This outline is mine, by the way. But listen to what this one statement I copied out of a book, and I thought it was so good. A day is coming when all the fruits of sin brought forth by sinners in their words, their writings, better be careful what they write, and their actions shall be destroyed. Yea, the tree itself which had produced them shall be rooted up and cast into the fire. The seed and the posterity of the wicked, if they continue in the way of their forefathers, will be punished like them. Gentlemen, here is a statement that this man made that I want to read. I mean, not he made that, but this is what I want you to get a hold of. Let parents consider that if on their principles and practices may depend the salvation or destruction of the multitudes after them. Gentlemen, did you hear what the man said?
Amen.
Some of you men are raising a posterity. Some of you better get on the ball, get the job started too. And there's others that would like to raise a posterity. Talking about children after them. Your principles and your practices of life may very well determine where that child of yours will spend eternity.
Amen.
Huh?
That's very good.
Brother Ricky back there come in, I believe it was last Sunday, and said that little Rick was walking down the hallway of the house when he was getting ready to come to church last Sunday morning, and said Brother Elliot Smith was on the radio. And said little Ricky looked up at him and said, "Daddy, I'm a going to hell." Well, that's true. He is.
Amen.
In a sense. But oh, I'm on. Hey, fellas. God has put some roadblocks along the way. Hey, the power of the gospel.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Parents that love the Lord.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Principles of life that are governed by this book.
Yes,
right. Can all be roadblocks in the way. And look here. You say, oh, them little kids right now, they're so little, they're not listening to nothing going on.
Right.
Look here. Lisa and Doug were sitting at home eating supper the other evening. And the fellow that lives next to them got a cow or two out there. And one of the kids made this statement. They said, why does men call girl cows heifers? And little old rag man now, this big little old boy, he said, anybody ought to know that. It's because they're supposed to stay home and do housework. That's the point I'm making, Brother Steve. They're listening, gentlemen. Hey, they're big enough to listen to what you got to tell them. Tell them about God. Tell them about hell. Tell them about sin. Tell them about the devil. If you don't warn them and live what you say you have in front of them, you may very well be a damning your family to hell if you don't.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
His discovery, his devouring, and his destruction of his enemies. And he will do it, gentlemen. He will do it.
Amen.
He'll uncover them, reveal them for what they are, devour them, and destroy their root and offspring forever. And the Scriptures bear that out. There's coming a day, gentlemen, when righteousness will rule and reign and there will be no evil in the earth.
Amen.
You know what I say about that? Oh, happy day. Woo!
Amen.
When Jesus washed my sins away,
yeah.
He taught me how to watch and pray and go rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. I'm glad that I made peace through the blood of His cross. Gentlemen, I'm no longer an enemy of God. God bless you for listening this morning.